You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. In studio with me, kind of, is my guy, Tom. Tom, how are you?
I'm hanging in, Steve. How was your weekend?
It was good. Good. Busy Saturday with the big game, Colorado and Arizona. Waxing poetic on my website, or whatever you call that. And then watched football yesterday. Did you enjoy the games yesterday?
I did. Even when it gets to this time of the year, even if I don't have a dog in the fight, I do like to watch and see the... Because I think this is some of the best football you're going to see.
Yes, I think you haven't had a dog in the fight since you were a little boy.
Yeah, well, no, not entirely true.
In your 20s?
Buffalo Bills did make the playoffs again this year.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, I didn't even think this year.
Yeah.
But before this year.
Yeah, they made it 2 years ago, and I kind of wish they hadn't because they just barely showed up.
I don't even remember that one.
Yeah, well, nobody does because it was that bad.
It was that bad.
But this year, there was a legit feeling that maybe you could win a wild card weekend.
Who did they lose to in the first round?
They lost to Texans.
Texans.
Yes.
Oh, then that was okay. Texans were halfway decent, but they lost last week.
Yeah, they should have beat them.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. If you want to call, please do 790-2040. I always appreciate your calls to talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. And at 6:30, we're going to have a friend of mine, a guy named Steve Lavin, former UCLA coach, St. John's coach. He was here with us for the Little Olsen Fantasy Camp a year or so ago, and he agreed to come on the show. He's been on the show a couple times before. So we're going to talk about Arizona. He was the guy on the tube this weekend. Covering the game for Fox, and we'll talk about the landscape of college football, college basketball as it stands now. It's crazy. Just today, another number one team has moved into that spot, even though Gonzaga did not lose. Baylor moved into the top spot.
That's kind of crazy to me, especially. But Steve, doesn't it just go to show that, I mean, college basketball is all what have you done for me lately?
Oh yeah,
that's
no,
all it is.
No question. And it's a bizarre year because I don't know if we talked about this last week, but who's the clear cut favorite?
I have no idea.
Does that make it better?
Yeah,
you know, because
you don't know.
Like last year, you thought, okay, bet $10 on Duke, you get $12 back. Now it's like you put $10 on Duke, you might get $70 back because there's no rhyme or reason. It's tough to be number one this year.
Yeah.
And does it really matter? No, not really. In fact, the polls don't mean poop to me. I don't know if they mean something to you.
Not really.
Arizona's back in the top 25?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Just means they won this weekend. That's really all it means.
Just means they're still in the top 25, not in the top 25.
They're one of those teams, if they lose, they're out. If they win, they're back in.
Yes, yes, very much so. Because, well, anybody in the top 19 or, you know, 19 to 25, you lose, you're gone.
Yeah.
Like you said, the what have you done for me lately type of thing. But college basketball has been bizarre this week in a good way. You don't know what. Kind of like the team that I cover. You don't know which team you're going to get. Last week against Oregon, there was like, what? Oh, the Oregon schools, Oregon State included. And then this week, they beat a bad Utah team pretty easily. And then beat a Colorado team that's halfway decent pretty easily. You see the game?
I did not see the Colorado game. I saw the Utah game.
Yeah, so that Colorado game, that Utah game was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Bad. The Colorado game was very impressive. And I think, and I said this, and Sean knows this, because I've asked him 1,000 times about this running and the style and the happiness. Yada, yada. They look great on Saturday because they enjoyed running and gunning. That's just, to me, that's the simple solution. You know, do it within reason, like he wants it. But I would say if I was given it a number, like given a number out of 10 times you run and gun, when you have opportunity, obviously, if you run 80% of the time, that's great. That's great. Do you know, kind of, this is a kind of an analogy that I don't know if it applies, but 2 or 3 years ago, I saw a team in Arkansas, a high school thing, team it was, it never punted. It doesn't punt. Didn't believe in punting. Did you see that?
I do. I remember that article.
And it worked well for them because it was always aggressive.
Right.
punch. Go, 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 go. If we suffer the consequences, we suffer the consequences.
And they always went for it on fourth down, mm-hmm. and they never kicked a field goal. They always went for two.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, every single phase of this coach's implementation was they always onside kicked, they never punted, always went for it on fourth down, and they always went for the two-point conversion.
Well, if you know they're going to onside kick, well, you're prepared for it. Not sure. That you're always going to, you know, whatever, but...
But for whatever reason, the percentages and the odds of recovering it and whatever, it just...
Are good enough.
And it's high school, so yeah. Obviously it's a little different if you've got, you know, one or two dominant players, but, I mean...
I think they did really
well. I wonder
if
that worked in a college level. They did. They did great.
Yeah, because they put the pressure all the time.
Right.
It's funny, I was thinking this weekend, I wanted to ask you, do you know any successful passive people?
No. I mean, if they had it dropped in their lap because someone else earned it and then just passed it along, that's about it. But if you're talking about people who earned anything themselves, no.
Because they're not passive.
Yeah.
They're aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, aggressive wins the fight, doesn't it?
It has to.
It has to, and it's usually rewarded. You know, sometimes you say, okay, I shouldn't have done that or whatever. You regroup, and then you become aggressive again.
One of my favorite sayings, Steve, is fortune favors the bold.
Fortune favors the bold. Let me write that down.
Yeah, that is, I've adopted that in my life in the last couple of years.
You have a few of these, though.
I do.
What's another one?
I used to read a lot. I try not to turn into a TV zombie. Let's see, another good philosophy.
Fortune favors the bold.
Fortune favors the bold.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I don't know. I always liked he who laughs last laughs best.
Okay. Okay, we'll stop there.
Okay.
That's good. I like that because I was just referring to the aggressiveness of Arizona.
Sure.
If you run and gun and blah, 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 and play good defense, you're going to win a lot of games. And that's what he stresses, play good defense. I hope that the running doesn't affect the defense. And there were times, a time or two, one specific, and I didn't put this in this paper, I mean, in the internet because of... I just didn't have a transition to go there, but late in the game, I don't know, less than 10 minutes in the game, Arizona's beating pretty badly. Dylan Smith, who had a very good game, considering, went to the basket. He was the only guy to touch the ball, I think, or maybe the second guy to touch the ball. Got the ball, half court, went in, and went for a basket. Didn't look at anybody else, but went into the basket. Didn't score, but he was fouled. Sean was P.O.'d. he slammed the scorch table, and I don't remember him ever doing that. I'm sure he has done it. He was P.O.'d because of the decisions of what? If it's not right, stop and work the offense.
Right.
He didn't even attempt to do any of that. Went to the basket, got fouled, and right away he slammed the table, and he called him over, explained to him what the heck he did wrong, and then went about his business to shoot the free throws. But that's what he's talking about. Some guys just taking control without thinking the process or thinking through the process and being their own stars. But what are we talking about? What, 20-some-year-old kids?
Yeah. Yeah. If that, in some cases.
Who make bad decisions.
Yeah.
And it was almost about all me. And that's what he doesn't want. I get that. But if you have a team, like they did a few times. In fact, I was on David Kelly's KVOA show talking about the speed of the game. And he says, yes, Sean, when is a good shot on a fast break opportunity and when is it not? They had a lot of those because you have a guy named Max Hazard who's shooting crazily now and making the shots. And Sean says, you know, I don't want to prevent them from running. I don't. You guys may think I do, but I don't. And I said, the perfect answer for that is when the ball goes in.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, no. It went in. Oh, good. Great.
Yeah.
You know. Pretty much that's how it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if it's 1 foot off balance, half court, and it goes in, it's 3 points.
Right. So what are you thinking? Oh, good shot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break here on 10:30 The Voice. Come back and talk more about this. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. My guy, Tom.
New phrase.
My guy, Tom, behind the mic, on the other side. Just talking some hoops. If you want to call in about UA hoops, please call 790-2040. I'd like to hear from you. How impressive are you? Now they go on the road for 3 straight games. I think we'll find out more about this team. ASU on Saturday, they should be able to pull that off. And then they go to Washington. We'll also talk to Lavin about this. and I've known this for a long time, it's just kind of weird, more weird now than it was back in the day, how it's almost impossible to win on the road. It just is. Everyone says, well, you just have a team that you play on the same court. Doesn't work that way, does it? When no, you did your hockey stuff.
Especially in college, though.
Yeah.
College,
yeah.
If you have a good home court advantage, a good fan base, it's real hard to win on the road.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you see that equivalent on the hockey rink?
So, you know what's interesting, Steve, is I think I saw it more in the beginning of my broadcast career because back then it was a little bit more Wild West for rink sizes. It's not like you walk into a basketball court and the hoop is, the hoop is always 10 feet up, but, you know, and the court's always the same size. In hockey, in some of the older buildings that these teams would play in, the rink might not be the same length.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Instead of 200 feet, it might be 185. There was one in Flint or Port Huron, Michigan that was 165 feet.
Wow.
That's a huge advantage for the home team.
Right. They know all the bounces.
Right.
The bad bounces.
Exactly.
I joke with the bounces, but it's true.
Yeah. I mean, puck coming around the boards or off the glass or, I mean, all kinds of interesting things. I think today everything's uniform. Maybe not as much, but what makes the difference is the atmosphere.
Right.
That's what the difference is. And in college, I think you have a much higher chance of having a good home court atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah, no question. Especially if you have a good home court with the people going crazy. But, you know, it's also difficult to play in front of 10 people or 20 people. You know, yeah. I'm being exaggerated.
Home or road.
Yeah, yeah. You just can't get up for a game like that. And
yeah.
the team that's really bad is used to it. And the team that isn't used to it has trouble. Arizona is notorious for that.
You know where we saw that? The Baylor game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nobody
was
at that game.
Right.
And both teams stunk.
And actually, Arizona probably had more fans because they traveled well.
Yeah, it was almost like a little baby home game.
Yeah, yeah, baby home game. Yeah, it's true. Anybody want to call in, please do, 790-2040. I was talking about the passive-aggressive stuff. You could probably say that for anything, don't you think?
Yes, and actually, I had a thought about this, and believe it or not, I had a thought during the break. To your point, so you talk about U of A being aggressive. And running as much as they can, that forces the other team to adapt to you.
Yes.
And I think that's so important in any sport, any walk of life. If you're the dominant force and other people have to adapt to what you're doing and how you're doing it, you're the one who is setting the table. And that's a great path and a great way to be successful.
I agree. What's Mike Tyson's line? Everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yep.
You got to punch in the face right away.
Yep.
True.
Yeah, I think you should, in most cases, come out and try to throw that first punch.
Right, right. Establish who you are. Get it done. Doesn't always hold true for long periods, but at least you know or they know that you're taking this serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And what advantage is there to taking the first punch in the face? Unless you're Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali would tire guys out taking punches.
The only way that would happen is if, say, go ahead, hit me. Go ahead and hit me. It better be good. Because if it's not good, I'm going to crush you.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. Because that's even more intimidating.
Yes, yes. God, my best was not good enough. This guy can withstand a lot of stuff. And you just know, even, what's the Winston Churchill thing? Every war is won even before the war is even fought. Kind of like that. You already know going in. I'm probably screwed up that quote, but it's what it is. You go in knowing, God, I have to play my best just to come out with a chance. It happens more often than you know. Arizona going into, or let's say Northern Arizona coming here to play Arizona. What are the chances?
Yeah.
It's not very good. So you got to just play and be aggressive. What do you have to lose?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. But so the phrase that comes to mind for me in that is, if you're going to take a shot at the king, you better kill the king.
Oh, hey,
because if you don't, the king will come back and squash you.
Right, right. Yeah. No, hey, this is Phrase Monday.
I hope people are sitting by their radios or listening online with a pen and a paper because we are doling out pearls right now.
Yes. Well, they can always listen to the podcast later.
Exactly.
What did he say? I finally understood. And now, what did he mean? What did he mean?
Who knew they came here for enlightenment?
Philosophy Monday.
I got to look this up.
Sponsored by. No, we'll see what happens with Arizona. They go to ASU, so we have a long wait this week. We'll probably talk more about hoops this week as it gets closer. The women, too, play ASU on Friday. They pulled one out yesterday after being down, 19 or something in the first quarter? But
they're impressive.
They're a good team, yeah. They're a good team. She's done a great job. That game is at home this time. ASU is coming off a big win. They beat Oregon's. Did they win? Or ASU? I don't follow ASU and women that much, so should be a big game this weekend.
We'll I think see. ASU women are ranked 15 this week, if I remember from the polls earlier today.
ASU or U of A?
ASU. U of A women are 18.
18, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I didn't know that. I know that U of A women are 18, but not the women, that the ASU women. Should have another big game. But they're all big in the Pac-12. I think the top five or six teams will probably get to the NCAA tournament. And here you go.
Arizona State 16. Is 16.
16.
Yeah.
Well, and Arizona's already beaten them once. One of the toughest things in sports, I don't know if you agree with me, is beating a team twice, especially if they're equalish. Equalish? Is that a word? But close if you, enough. You know, if NAU played Arizona, then Arizona went to play NAU, you kind of know.
Right.
But two teams that are kind of equal, very difficult to beat twice.
Because there's no surprises that second time around.
No. And home courts and all that stuff. It's unbelievably difficult to beat them three times, even though you think the balance is, they beat them twice, I'll beat them three. No. Because you're playing with emotional situations. And one of the biggest things I think fans don't realize are emotions play a big part in the college level sports and high school.
Absolutely.
Because you don't know.
And they're running high, they're running low, and honestly, I mean, not that pro athletes don't deal with off the field, off the court stuff, but
right.
Everything is magnified when you're a teenager or a young 20-something.
Right. And the pros, you have more professionals to overcome that. You know, you can just fill the spot with somebody else's. In college, you don't. If Johnny, the star, is not doing well emotionally or psychologically, who are you going to replace him with?
Yeah.
You don't have another star. Pros, you can have a little more wiggle room. So we'll see. So Steve Levin, in about 6 minutes, I text him earlier to get a hold of him. So we should do that. And what else? Anything else besides maybe the pro football? If you want to talk a little about that. I think of any of the weekends that I have to pick teams throughout the year, because I'm in a little league that you pick teams. This was the first time I got two right.
Oh.
Because I think it was easy. You could pick that
Chiefs game.
Chiefs are going to handle them pretty easily. It was a good game. It's a good game, but the Chiefs eventually, you know, did well. And then I think San Francisco was easily the better team.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked at how flat the Packers came out.
Yeah, yeah. Either flat, was it flat, your word, or just not good enough?
Well, so that was the other thing, is how good is San Francisco's defense? My jury's still out on that, because we're going to see yet another quarterback matchup against a top-flight defense. Now, they're good. I'm saying San Francisco's defense is good.
Yeah, yeah.
But are they dominant, world-class, or were the Packers a little bit flat in that one? Because Patrick Mahomes is going to have to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my question. Although the Packers kind of got into it late, I think the score was closer than the game was.
Oh, yeah, no question. They were out of it by halftime.
Yeah.
And definitely after the first 10 minutes in halftime. Because what was it, 23-0 or something like that, whatever it was?
Yeah, I was just shocked. The Packers couldn't move the football, couldn't do anything. And that was surprising to me. I didn't expect that.
Yeah. No, it was a boring second game. But this time of year, you're right. I think the best kind of weed themselves out.
Yeah.
Should be good. I think that, do we have a little wager? I don't know, you want to go public with it?
We do. I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to take Kansas City. For the big game here, because I think that it's a quarterback-driven league at the end of the day, and Mahomes is the best quarterback right now.
Okay, I don't disagree with you. I think that good-looking guy, they say, is good-looking. Garoppolo, is that right, his name? Has a pretty good team, and they'll beat him for whatever reason. Because I think San Francisco, to your point of the defense, is good enough. It's good enough. They're physical. They're faster than we think. Yada yada. And I have no dog in the fight. I think San Francisco will pull it off.
Yeah, and I'm not against San Francisco. They are a very good football team. I just think Patrick Mahomes has magic.
Yeah, no, he does. And he showed something in that drive, that 2,000-yard drive for a touchdown, wiggling and going through and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
In fact, I got this quick thing. I got a note sent to me from a listener just now. Today's show is great. Thank you. How about some MLK quotes?
Martin Luther King quotes.
We'll have to search some, because that could apply. Maybe Steve Lavin might have a few, you know.
Well, Steve, we can ask him in a couple of minutes.
Yes, yes. We've been waxing. I'll ask him, what's your favorite go-to? We'll see. We'll see. So you have KC?
Yes, I'll take
San Francisco. What's the early line? Do we know?
We can find out.
It's probably one or two, probably. Kansas City, that's my guess. Because it's almost even. I mean, just off the top of my head, it seems like it's almost even.
You would think. I mean, early on, anyway. Let's see.
Mm-hmm. Chiefs are open as a favorite right there.
One and a half point.
So, yeah, right.
So that tells you that's almost pick 'em territory.
Yes, and it'll change. I bet you it'll change because a lot of the money in Vegas will go from to San Francisco because of nearby. It's nearby, Vegas.
Yeah,
all that money. So we'll see.
And that's the other thing I think some people don't realize is the line changes based on where the money goes, mm-hmm. not necessarily based on anything that happens with the teams.
Right, right. So, but the Vegas, if that's the first line out, they think that KC is the better team by...
That's not even a field goal.
By nothing.
Yeah.
By nothing.
Yeah, that's just...
I bet you it's by the start time of the game, in 13 days, it'll be even. It'll be even, or a half a point, which means half a point means, what does that mean? Not a darn thing.
Nothing. Nothing, because usually the home team, and I know there's no home team in the Super Bowl, but you get spotted three just for being the home team in the NFL.
Yeah.
So that's, or at least that's how it used to be, Steve. I might be showing my age on that one. Who knows?
Call your bookie. Call your bookie. So I'll ask for Steve some MLK quotes. I'll have to Google some. Four score. We'll see. Had a dream.
That, yes. That one.
Yeah, but that doesn't apply today. I had a dream that I would sleep more.
Well, if you slept more, you might dream more.
I do, actually. Last night was one of those dream a lot things. I don't sleep well. Too worried about this show.
Too much pressure.
Right. Right. Are you ready to take a break already?
Sure.
Let's, because we'll get Steve Lavin on and talk about UA basketball, maybe the state of college basketball as it stands now. And then a little waxing poetic on some quotes. Thank you, Tom. Let's go to break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to I Am The Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. We're trying to get a hold of Steve Lavin. He's probably stuck in L.A. traffic. God bless him. Hope he calls. We're trying to reach out to him, trying to get for him to share his sugar as one of his lines, one of his quoting lines. The time is always right to do what is right, Mr. Tom. That's a Mr. MLK quote. You know that?
I like that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're trying to get a hold of Steve here in a little bit. I know I put it on Facebook that he was coming on, and he was good with that. So we're hoping to reach out to him. Anybody wants to call in, please do 790-2040. If you know Steve, say hello. I know a lot of people in this town does or do. He was close to a few people, including the late, great... nothing yet?
Nothing yet.
Okay. Okay. The late, great Ken Flower, one of my former sponsors, one of the good guys. So we'll see. Let's see. I just texted him to see if he can call us, so we don't have to worry about the phones. So what else, Tom? You've paid attention to the Pac-12 league at all? It's a crazy league, like the rest of the... Where's the college basketball?
So since I've moved here, yes, I pay more attention to Pac-12. I would say, so we always talk about East Coast bias. Before I moved out here, Steve, probably the only Pac-12 teams I could have named off the top of my head were Oregon and Washington, because they get a little more national love.
Football-wise.
Football-wise, yeah. And I mean, well, back when I was younger, USC mm-hmm. was a powerhouse. So you always heard about USC.
You back in your younger days, you're talking younger days, early 80s?
So 80s and 90s, I remember USC being a powerhouse. And, of course, so I grew up in a Catholic family full of Notre Dame fans, so USC-Notre Dame was a big matchup every year, although that has certainly lost its luster.
Mm-hmm.
So USC was one of those schools. If anybody knew anything about a West Coast football school, those were really the ones.
This is a late discussion, but you just brought it up. Lost its luster because of the USC-Oregon USC-Notre Dame thing, right? That's what you're talking about?
Yes.
But did you get a feel for the bowl games this year? How it was kind of like, okay.
I felt that way the last couple of years.
It's not like a ball. You know, when you were younger, everything when you're younger is kind of like amplified, and you said, wow, I'm going to sit and watch five games in a day. Now that I'm older, I don't really care. It's like there's no fanfare.
You know, it's funny. I talked to my dad about this, and my dad is in his late 70s. And he said, you know, when he was a kid, you know, he remembers it was the Rose Bowl,
yeah,
the Cotton Bowl, you know, the important bowls that we used
to
watch.
Orange Bowl, all
right,
that one
the
day.
Orange Bowl. And now, I mean, it's, I don't even know it's the corporate name here bowl.
Right.
I don't 100% right. even know which bowl is which anymore.
Right.
I think it's just diluted the product. I know it's great for the schools and the kids, but for me as a college football fan, I don't know. It's just, it's a lot.
No question. This year specifically, because, or maybe the holiday landed on a weird day where you got, you know, big games on a Thursday and a Wednesday and blah, blah, blah. You didn't have time to watch it because you're at work or whatever. There was just, you'd watch and you're thinking, oh, I don't really care. And then you watch it as the cameras pan the stands, not pan them because they don't do that because there's nobody in the stands.
Right.
And ESPN owns a lot of it. They're not going to dare show you that there's nobody in the stands.
Right.
That you could see that no one's going to the game either.
Here's the thing, though, Steve, and the reason for that is if you went to ESPN or whatever, insert major network here, with enough money, we'd have the Steve Rivera Bowl. If for no other reason, then you're putting up the money.
True. At this rate, I cannot even afford my bowl of cereal.
We'd have the Steve Rivera Super Bowl, the cereal bowl.
The water bowl.
Steve, I have an idea. Let me know what you think about this. The two worst teams in the country should be in the Tidy Bowl Toilet Bowl.
Okay. Who's going to watch that?
You know what? It could be spectacularly awful.
Yes.
And that might actually be a good
it's
game because
like
of it.
Yeah, I get it. It's like kind of like the... What's that? The not the Voice, but the other one where they kind of audition in front of people.
America's Got Talent?
No.
Or...
The first one, like the original one when they.
Oh my goodness.
And then you had the Bad Singers. Then they
American
the,
Idol.
American Idol. And they showed the Bad Singers.
Yeah.
And then everybody watched that because they were just so bad.
Right. And some of them became sensations because of it.
Right. So that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Two of the worst bad teams.
127 against 128.
I went to college and I saw a lot of that. New Mexico State versus UTEP. Yeah. Bad football.
Yeah.
Like bad football. And it was no fun because you had to write about it. There's no fun writing about bad football.
No. Well, you really have to dig for your stories.
Arizona's going to be that way next year.
Oh, ouch.
After this year was no better. No. If there are two, next year could be a one. Didn't we go through the schedule?
We did.
And what did we, three wins?
Yeah.
Four wins maybe?
Yeah. I think we maxed at four if we were kind of trying to be nice. But I think we both decided three is about where they're going to land.
Three is the Mendoza line?
Yep. Yep. The wow, nice.
In fact, I'm kind of maybe waiting for Steve to call. Hope he does. I'm not sure he will. That I was talking to a person who buys tickets, and she had said that she got an email. From the U of A, and I'm sure it's an older email now, about requesting money for tickets and season tickets, encouraging them to buy because of all the changes in the stadium. And guess what? The prices are a lot more expensive. And I'm thinking, how are they going to sell that?
Yeah, how?
How are they going to sell that for a bad team?
How do you justify a price increase for that? Because you need to pay for your construction somehow,
yes,
obviously.
Yes.
I get it, but...
Mm-hmm. Come on, if you had money, if I had money, am I going to spend money on this? When you go to a grocery store, you're not going to buy a bag of bad apples, are you? Even though it's a good price, even if it's a bad price, you're not going to spend money on that.
Well, so if you go to the grocery store and they say, oh, these are the clearance apples.
Right, and they cost
1.5 times what the normal apples cost.
Or even, no, your example is perfect. I was going to say, even if it's less, you're still not going to buy the bad apples. Even if they put a price cut on the season tickets, you have a bad product.
Unless you're making a pie or applesauce. You're not getting those apples.
I don't cook, so I wouldn't even know.
But that is kind of the point, though. Exactly what you're saying. Why and to ask more,
right?
For that,
right. It's for the future, Tom.
Mm.
It's for the future. Please buy into this.
Please.
doesn't make any sense, but it makes perfect sense because U of A is like that. They want you to spend their money on them, whether the product's good or not good.
In fairness, that's any institution.
True. And they're going to push it. I don't know how they're going to sell next year. I don't know how and what kind of marketing they're going to have to come up with because it's not going to be any good. Come and see us. We're the best of the bad. I don't know.
Maybe they could come up with a fun new logo to put on the helmet, something kind of modern and stylized. Or
you going to care about that as a ticket holder?
Probably not. I'm just trying. I'm spitballing.
What could convince you?
What would convince me to go to the game?
And you go and stay. You're one of those rare dudes.
I am, and I do. I love going to the games. So for me, okay, this is something I think that is a good example. Not only would I like to look at the opposite team. I like a quality opponent. But the game day experience inside the stadium and around the stadium could be a million times better.
Oh, no question. Here? You're talking about here?
Yes.
Do you go early enough to enjoy it?
I try to.
Okay, so did you this year?
I did.
Okay, so what would be the ideal experience for you? A pretty good college football fan.
So for me, what I loved when I've gone to other college football facilities, I've enjoyed a good tailgate and food culture.
Okay.
I mean, look at me. I enjoy food. but I do like that, and I think that you could have a good friendly environment for tailgating that would be something that could be centered around what the school has going on. They've got a lot of spaces. And the other thing, honestly, is the activities around stadium itself,
mm-hmm.
I think, could be a lot better.
And that's provided by the U of A or just in-house by U of A and not so much by the people that are actually going to Quebec for entertainment. So, it's a mixed bag. I haven't really been to many tailgates in my time because I'm usually at the game and I can't drink anyway. So I don't know what's a good tailgate and what's a bad tailgate. So good luck with that. Do we get a caller?
Yep. Dean would like to chime in. If you want, Steve, we're near a break. We can grab on the other side or we can go now.
Let's go now. Dean, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
Now you get Dean on here. All right.
Okay, Dean, how are you?
There we go.
Dean, thanks for the call.
Yeah, you know, I love going to the U of A games.
Hoops or football? Football?
Football.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would enjoy it a lot more. And if I ever quit going, it'd be because I feel like I'm just a prop for TV. That we don't matter. It's all about TV. And it starts so late, particularly when it's cold. And the fans don't matter. That's my biggest complaint.
A prop for TV in what sense? Or more so a prop for the university?
Well, because the university, all that matters to them is the TV money. The people in the stands don't really matter.
Exactly. I agree with you.
And I know that they really try and make an experience and everything, but I could do everything I do almost except for the band and stay home and watch on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a proud alum, and we continue to buy season tickets, but it gets harder and harder. One, because they have such a poor preseason schedule, and two, because the times are just don't have anything to do with us. They have only to do with TV.
But you're still a loyal guy who goes.
Yeah.
What would make it better? Tom just talked about the pregame tailgating and stuff. What would make it better for you?
If they started at, say, 4 or 5 in the afternoon when it's still nice, and then when it got cold starting in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
or just paying more attention to the people that are actually there and fewer, I don't have to make money, I understand all that, but fewer commercials, more band, more student involvement, not in every time out another advertisement. Yeah, get that, watch it on TV, and here I am paying, mm-hmm. I don't know what we pay for, I think it's $50, $60, something like that. I feel very taken for granted.
Yeah, no, you're not the only one I've heard say this. Let me also say, you must be a season ticket holder for a while now.
Oh, long, long time. Yeah.
So when you got the email talking about the tickets this year, what did you feel?
You know, I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Well, let me break the news to you. They're going to ask for more money. You okay with that?
Well, that's a mistake. We'll probably do it, but it reaches a point, and you go, you know what? I can support the university in a lot of other ways.
Yes.
And I can go to the women's basketball games instead or support the track team. I mean, there's so many other things. And you miss some of the pomp and circumstance, but it reaches a point, it just isn't worth it.
Right. How many – do you go with people or
– Yeah, we have there's five or six of us that generally get together. And although we don't tailgate, we have dinner together. But you know what? Come 11:30 at night, that's past my bedtime.
I'm telling you, you're not even in the fourth quarter by that.
Oh, I know. And you know, a lot of times it's a blowout. Yeah. But I remember the last couple games. In fact, one of the games it was actually at a good time. But I bet there weren't 5,000 people there at the end of the game.
Tom was one of them. I was waiting for somebody.
One of them.
Hey, Dean, yeah, thanks.
We used to stay the whole game all the time, but not anymore.
Yeah, Dean, thank you for calling. Hey, have you been listening for a while? I think this is the first time you've called.
Yeah, no, I sponsor some advertisements on the station, but I listen. I just don't call because, I don't know, I just don't call.
Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dean. I hope you enjoyed the show. Hey, now let's go take the quick break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Doesn't look like we're going to get my guy, Steve Lavin, on the phone. We'll try him again tomorrow, see what's going on.
He might just be so frustrated with L.A. traffic, Steve.
Yes, I would be. I hated that. About 15 years ago, I was there with my now ex-wife going 7 miles. Took me 3 hours. It rained that day.
Oh.
It rained that day. She no longer made the trip with me anymore. I was okay with that.
Oh, that's miserable, though. I don't care if you're by yourself in the car. That's crazy.
Yes, it was. It was. It was miserable just because, you know, the pace was, what, 100 yards for every 30 minutes? It was bad.
Yeah.
Those are the good old days when I didn't care. Now I don't even go anymore. I'm okay with that. So what were we talking about? Just circumstances. You're saying that Dean's kind of like the norm?
I think so. I think Dean is every fan. And I appreciate and sympathize with his feelings right now because you walk in, it's a beautiful old football stadium. You know, the original walls that are still there, I think historically important and carries a bit of a gravitas to it. It's got a feeling. But then above that, it's all girders and concessions and that's it. The whole place feels designed to take the rest of your money.
Yes.
Instead of have you enjoy
that's
being there.
It's funny you say that because it's very true. Hold on. I'm Googling gravitas. No, but I agree with you. It's just a place where you go watch football. You hear the loud music on the screen and yada, yada. It is what it is. But I think that if they were winning, like really good, mm-hmm. none of that would matter.
Sure. And to Dean's point, he goes to dinner before the game. If I go down with whoever, it doesn't matter how big the crowd of people is, but if you go down with either your friends or not your friends, what I love is you go into like one of the restaurants, like the sub places or whatever down there, and you're sitting at your table, and you can be talking about whatever. The person at the next table over joins your conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. Because you're all there for a reason, and there's a camaraderie in that, and mm-hmm. I enjoy that.
Yeah, and now there's nobody sitting next to you at the table because no one's there.
Yeah.
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 Here we go. Look who's calling.
Oh, we got Steve to call in. All right, one
great
moment.
Man. We got about 8 minutes to, oh man, we have to crush it with this. But good, Steve's calling in, and we have him for 8 minutes. We'll have to get him later on in the show. So, I mean, later on in the year, as we say. Tell me when we're ready, man. Let's go. Steve, thanks for calling in. We've been trying to reach you.
I know. I think being in this restaurant knocked me out. Must not have had good Wi-Fi.
No problem. It's good to hear from you. I know you were in town. We got you some good weather here in Tucson when you were here this weekend. Good to have you.
It was wonderful.
Yes,
it was wonderful.
Yes. You shared the sugar a lot. A lot of people love listening to you on the tube. What were your biggest impressions or takeaways from the basketball team at Arizona?
Well, I think the maturity they showed playing on the weekend against, you know, two different teams, obviously, but also different styles of play. Thursday night basketball offensive bonanza in terms of 93 points they put on the board. Consider the fact that, you know, they called off the Cats late in the game there to eliminate the possibility of any injuries and also not wanting to rub it in. Than they already had in terms of dominating the youths. And then against Colorado, a veteran team, a bit more rugged, a game that was not played at the same pace as the Utah game, and yet Arizona executed well, and the freshmen showed a lot of poise. I thought Dylan Smith, the senior, was outstanding from start to finish and contributed at both ends of the floor. And obviously, Zeke Nagy was dominant in the paint. Particularly the rebounding was as impressive a performance on the boards as I've seen this year. And so just really an outstanding weekend for the Cats.
Yeah, no question. Was this your first take at them? I thought maybe you were in town not long ago.
Well, what's interesting is I had their game on a Sunday night up at Oregon State in Corvallis, where it was a competitive game, and then the wheels came off. The zone really gave Arizona some problems. But again, keep in mind, eight new pieces. That's what I've really emphasized in terms of not only the freshmen, but the grad transfers, the traditional four-year transfers. And so it takes time. I always draw the parallel or the analogy to musicians. You get, you know, different band members. It makes for different music. And the longer they play together, the better feel and sense for one another that they're going to have, and the music improves. And it's the same in basketball. When you reload and you have this many new pieces, Sean has to be an orchestrator, an alchemist, and develop that chemistry and also implement the system and style of play. And with those three freshmen, you know, they didn't know what was coming on the Oregon Trail. You just have to go through that. I remember Baron Davis and Earl Watson, when I was at UCLA as freshmen, when they were at UCLA as freshmen, came into the desert. And we got waxed, both at Arizona State and Arizona. And, of course, they went on to be 13-year pros. That year, I think we went on to a Sweet 16. And they had some other outstanding seasons at UCLA. But it just is a rite of passage. And Sean is staying the course and staying patient. And they're starting to see the dividends pay off because there is the personnel. But they're tweaking and modifying and making the adjustments as staffs have to do. And once again, I think they're going to be in great position come March to make a run in the tournament.
Did you come in Friday? Did you come in for shoot around or practice?
I actually came in on Thursday night.
So did you go to practice on Friday?
I got to speak with Sean and just watched a little bit of them on the floor. But I had seen their shoot around in Corvallis and, you know, got a really good feel during that shoot around. Even though they didn't play well that evening, you could still see the pieces were there.
Well, now it's just hope they don't run out of time because, you know, there's a point where this team needs to grow up and play together. You talk about the band analogy. Now you have to figure out when's the right time to start playing well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, getting their first road win will be a big one. They've, you know, played some neutral sites, obviously at home. They've played well. But getting a first true road win in conference play, I think, will be important. And this team is going to continue to gain confidence. That's one of the things you worry about as a coach. Or I should say not worry, but sometimes you're concerned about is – young players are losing their confidence. Freshmen sometimes hit the wall because this is all new, uncharted territory. The workload and, you know, travel and media and just, you know, playing at a higher level in terms of physicality, the walkthroughs, the film sessions, the scouting reports. It's new. Even that trip to the Northwest, right? I mean, they were there for a long weekend. And I think, you know, you grow from those experiences. And keep in mind, in the last decade, we've had more teams than ever before that get to the Final Four with double-digit losses. And unlike college football, 10 losses don't destroy your season. It's about peaking come Coach Olson in 97 obviously exhibited that with his ability to take a middle-of-the-pack Pac-10 team and then step into the tournament. Beat three number one seeds on the way to cutting down the nets with Bibby and Simon and Terry and Dickerson and company. And so that's all about continuing to teach, being positive, building their confidence, and playing your best come March.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Steve, I know this is short. We'll get back with you at another time. Are you coming back to Tucson anytime soon?
I do have the Caps up at Cal Berkeley, and I've also got them against the Washington State Cougars.
This week.
I'll have, and then, of course, in the conference tournament for Fox.
We'll see you in Vegas then.
That's one I'll be covering you.
We'll see you in Vegas. Thank you, Steve.
All right, Steve. Take care.
Take care. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That was Steve Lavin. Thanks for calling in, Steve. And concludes our show. Not a bad way to conclude the show. Good show today, Tom.
Good show, Steve.
We'll come up with some more clever sayings tomorrow here on Eye on the Ball. Thanks.